I'm here with Roddy Peters and Anna Wheatley from Tucked In Productions, which is a group we like. And my first question to you, Roddy, is why do we like you?
Well, I would hope, not knowing what you've seen before. Have you seen... what did you see? Jack-a-Jack? Have you seen Jack-a-Jack? You've seen... Tim and Light?
The Golden Cowpat?
The Golden Cowpat.
Look, I think we've seen them all. And I think you've been well reviewed, which is why we're coming to interview you. And I guess, you know, so what is it about you that you think artistically makes you stand out?
Fun. I'd say, I imagine that you quite enjoy the sense of fun that's in a show. We've all been in a room together having fun, trying to think of ways to play. And I think often there's a risk that when people bring a play to a festival or even produce a play anywhere else, that they lose the sense of play. And we enjoy doing it, and we hope that enthusiasm is infectious and comes across, and that the audience pick up on that sort of giggly sense of enthusiasm. And also, our writer and artistic director, Hal, is very good at trying to make sure there's a clear line in the play that means it's about something as well. So it's not just play without a purpose. That there's something that you can take from it, however old you are, that there's something that grabs your interest.
So looking for a through line here, I'm going to ask maybe Anna this one. You've got two shows on, which are?
The Golden Cowpat and Sam Rose in the Shadows.
What's the flavour that's common between those two?
Wow, I think something that Tucked In does so well that I like is that we create children's theatre which doesn't patronise. And I think both shows, as Roddy was saying, have that sense of sheer fun. There's also the live music element and the clowning and puppetry we have in both shows. They're both, you know, visual as well as... one's a storytelling piece. The Golden Cowpat is predominantly Roddy telling a story, and I play all the music alongside. And the other one is much more a puppetry-based ensemble piece. But I would say, yeah, the sense of fun and also that kind of live... creating everything on stage as well in front of the eyes of the audience. And yeah, there's a story. There's just such a strong story in both to follow through, I think.
So who does the puppetry here? Is it both of you?
Well, in Sam Rose, there are five casts, so there are three others of us, and we all share in it. There's a girl called Claire who leads Ivan, the young boy in that piece, but everybody's involved in manipulating some of the legs, the arms, being involved with the puppets in various ways. And in The Golden Cowpat, Anna does Mr. Dude. Anna's in charge of Mr. Dude. Interestingly, though, I mean, just thinking about the comparison between the two, the way that Tucked In works is that Hal, the artistic director and writer, comes up with a story, and Golden Cowpat began its life with the intention of developing into a Tucked In show like Sam Rose. So it was going to be worked and researched and developed into a full puppetry show. But it was dry. It had a dry run at a festival with Robin Hemmings, who's an associate artist of Tucked In, who did the Golden Cowpat, created it, sort of made it a piece of storytelling, and it worked so well with girls and boys coming back every day. I think there were three girls particularly who came back every day to watch it, that they realised that it worked well as a story. So then it was just very gently expanded to have some music and a very simple set that just gives it a flavour of the farm, and it didn't go any further, whereas something like Sam Rose has had a lot of work and effort thrown at it with some excellent musicians, and Anna was in on the original R&D for that, the original research. Oh, the house is open.
I love it when we get announcements to it. It shows how live this is. Anna, I want a just quick look inside your soul, if you don't mind. Just if you can remember, even if it's just a fragment of memory, take us back to the moments when you first picked up that puppet and then you're the one that brings it to life. Just describe that.
What I love about picking up a puppet is that you have no idea who it's going to turn out to be, and the character had already existed. Mr. Dude existed in the original story, but only as a figment of Robin's imagination, the guy who told the story originally. So when I picked up Mr. Dude, I had free rein to make him whoever I pleased. And you look at a puppet which has been so beautifully made by B, our puppet maker, and you look at a puppet and you see its face, and you just have to sort of breathe and imagine who that might be. So we had some really playful rehearsals which involved, I mean, Mr. Dude has, he's changed, he's developed. He used to be probably a lot more cheeky than he is now. Now I think he's very wise, lot wiser than he used to be. But I think it's a great process, that finding and discovering who that might be, your puppet.
But he's lying somewhere now, isn't he? In a case or a box or somewhere like that. I mean, does he have any life of his own?
I really think he does. I mean, bits of him sometimes turn up in places they shouldn't be. He sometimes sheds a limb, but he. No, I think he often complains to Roddy actually that he's being shut up in a bag again. He does not like it at all.
And Roddy, how does Tuckton keep the attention of, you know, Generation Y that, you know, is checking in on their Facebook at 4?
It's amazing that I'm a big fan of dad jokes, and I think it's like Anna said about not patronising an audience. If you are talking to your audience, however old they are, you will grip them, and it's about not talking down to anybody. So you don't design a piece of theatre for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 year olds and aim it at a baby. You talk to them on a level, and then there are always moments that if you can work out how to just keep the parents who brought them along interested as well, it means that the parents are going to come back and see another Tucked In show, because they think, oh, thank goodness it's not one of those patronising shows where we sit there and watch them going goo goo gaga. We can actually, if they giggle as well, some of that might go over the kids' heads, but it's such a fine line of not patronising kids, which we think is so important, and that means that mums and dads can have a giggle as well.
But, you know, it doesn't amaze me. I mean, it pleasantly surprises me, but this generation brought up on CGI, you know, can still sit and watch a piece of live theatre and utterly suspend their disbelief and not go, that's a puppet, but actually engage with that character.
There's often a gasp when a puppet's revealed for the first time. In The Golden Cowpat, there was an audible gasp today. There was a kid who was amazed when Mr. Dude came and said, which is gorgeous to hear, and you just have to give that a bit of space. In Sam Rose, the first entry of Sam, we just give it a bit of space around it, because kids and adults actually just need a moment to take in this other being, and it is quite enchanting to see that reaction. And as you say, like, I mean, we had a kid, a friend of mine's done a show before where when the curtains opened, the kid gasped and went, oh my goodness, it's in 3D, because he'd clearly never seen live theatre before. And that's a real joy, that often, rather than a kid going to a pantomime necessarily, and that they're coming to, this is often their first experience of theatre, of live theatre, and that engagement with something that's live. They know it's live. I've had kids in The Golden Cowpat just touching my foot, because I'm stood right at the front of the stage and they're often really close, because they can't quite believe that the person that's normally trapped behind a glass screen is in front of them. And they, I mean, I've never not been on the telly, but, you know, somebody that's telling a story is there and right in front of them. The immediacy of it is what's so special about live theatre, and seeing a five-year-old clock that for the first time is beautiful.
And so, Anna, tell us a bit about the music, and, you know, live music. How did the music get made?
Well, the Golden Cowpat music was an absolute joy, because I watched the Golden Cowpat told as a story first. As we said, it didn't have any music originally. And then Hal, the artistic director, approached me and said, we're thinking about adding some music, some score, some songs. What do you think? So Robin, who was telling the story at the time, and I sat down and we wrote some of the songs first. So there's some character songs, which Roddy and I sing together live in the show. And then it was through a process of rehearsing and listening to the story and writing in response to the mood of the story that was being told. And I loved it, because I had no idea that this was something I loved doing, because I'd never done it before. But it turns out that, you know, Hal would say to me, OK, this bit I think we need something which is kind of epic but folky. It's got to build right to the end. And then we want it to just, like, break down into a dubstep beat. I mean, that is genuinely something that he did say to me. So, and then I'd be like, OK. And then we'd try a few things, and then we'd finally get... So it was a really organic process of writing to match the story. And that was the Golden Cowpat. In terms of Sam Rose, as Roddy said, I was involved in the research and development process where some of the music got written, and we again did something very similar and wrote to go with the story as the story was being developed, and then passed it over to some wonderful humans called Philippa Herrick and Ros Steele, who Philippa arranged a lot of the stuff that we'd wrote and made it much more complicated and much more beautiful. So she produced some of the music as well. So I think it is a really lovely and organic way of writing, so that you never have any music which doesn't absolutely connect to and engage with the action and the story. So, yeah.
And the puppets then, I mean, what comes first, the story or the puppet?
Well, in the Golden Cowpat, it was very much the story, wasn't it? And I think it has to be the story. The just making a puppet for the sake of making a puppet, arguably, is I would say wrong. You want to you are all theatres should be about telling a story. Whether everybody receives the same story is questionable, but you want to tell a story, and the puppet should aid that story. So Mr. Dude came in on Golden Cowpat to help that element of the story, and it's in a place in the show to try and just keep everybody with what's happening. And Sam Rose was very much designed to be a puppet show, but they didn't start with the puppets. Hal wrote the story, it was workshopped, they played around with where puppets might fit in. There are long conversations with the puppet creator and designer, and even about what they wear, to try and make sure that it definitely fits with the story. So, story.
A final question, something somebody wanted me to ask, was, and when the show's over and you move on to the next one, what happens to the puppets? Are they hanging lonely in a cupboard, waiting for some show to be written about some puppets hanging lonely in a cupboard? I mean, how do you move on from the work onto something else?
Well, when you asked earlier about whether or not it was whether or not they have a life of their own, we feel quite weird if we put them down. So, you know, sort of you take notes in a rehearsal, pop them on a chair. Looking over at them feels very bizarre, because they look a bit cross that they've just been left there. So I very much imagine that they do have a life of their own, and that they might not be seen, but that character is bigger than any of us. Whether or not they're off creating their own theatre play, I don't know, but...
In terms of moving on from show to show, it's a very strange thing to become so attached to a puppet, especially if you're puppeteering it. And Roddy plays Sam Rose with Tommy, who's also in the cast in Sam Rose. And as you know, I do Mr. Dude. But it's a very strange thing to finally put your puppet down and say, I'm not sure if I'm going to see you again. It is really bizarre. Actually, in terms of what happens to the puppets afterwards, sometimes they pop up in other R&Ds. I remember when we R&D'd, when we researched and developed Sam Rose, we were using a puppet which was from a completely separate show just to use, so that we had some idea of, if we were to use a puppet, how that might work. It is very strange moving on. Oh, Roddy's.
I was going to say, if any of this sounds slightly ridiculous and you think, what? I mean, actors talking about getting a connection with a puppet and getting a bit weepy over them. If anybody's ever had a teddy bear and has wondered what the teddy bear does when they leave the room, or has sort of just put them to bed when they were a little kid, it's that same childlike, not childish, but childlike love and enthusiasm for telling a story and protecting your puppet, looking after it.
So these two grown-ups believe that their puppets are real, and can there really be a better advert for a fringe show than that? So Roddy and Anna, thank you very much.
Thank you.